commission meeting. There we go. To order for July 10th, 2025. Angela, I think you're up.
Yes. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by calling the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call,
Join the
all
meeting.
participants will be muted briefly, excuse me, unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
I'm a little slow with the mute button. Thanks for bearing with me. Will you help me with attendance, please?
Yes, Ben Ford,
Present.
Raimi,
Present.
Kleba,
Present.
yay, we got you, Wright,
Present.
Esparza, all right, Bangalore.
Present.
Tan,
Present.
Ketchum, Wallace,
Present.
O'Brien,
Present.
Madden,
Here.
Raimi Moore. Excuse me, Rainey Moore. I didn't pronounce that N as strong this time. Rainey Moore. And then we have Harrington McKinney.
Zach Madden has left the meeting.
And Zach is coming back.
Yeah, the alder, I think, notified us of her absence.
All
Zach
right.
Madden has joined the meeting.
All right. You have quorum. There's quorum. And
All
then
right.
there's the
Before I
chair.
jump into this next section, I just want to thank you all for taking time out of your busy day. This is the largest group, I think, since I've been chair, and I deeply appreciate you all being here. You're going to be reading in the paper of a lot of stuff that's going on within the ELC division coming out soon. So it's really important that we have our collective voices heard. All right. In a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's rules of order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item unless it's noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. I don't think we have any public comment. Did you get any registrants?
There were no registrants.
Okay, so moving right along, approval of the minutes. I would love a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting. Melanie, your hand is up. Is that to approve?
Yes, so move.
Moved by Melanie. Second, thank you so much. Is there any objections? Otherwise, we'll record that as unanimous and those minutes are approved. I'm looking, I'm seeing no objections. Those minutes are approved. That moves us on to.
All right. I was writing a note.
That's okay. Disclosures and recusals.
Yes.
Does any member of this body have any disclosures or recusals? I'm looking. I'm not seeing any. There are none noted. So next up is new business. And I believe, Karen, you're going to lead us off on this discussion item number two.
And would you like the updated presentation displayed?
Yes, please.
And I just had a point of order. And maybe, Karen, you'll get to answer this question in a little bit. Since it's listed as a discussion item and not an action item, was there anything you were hoping, or maybe you'll tell us at the end?
Yeah, so this is actually a referral from council. I'll give you a little bit more detail in the presentation, but to answer your question quickly, they are looking for a recommendation from you, as well as a little bit of feedback. And I'm going to open it up for some discussion as well. And I'll get more into that. But yes, please, if you wouldn't mind.
I would apologize that I put it, I guess, in the wrong place. I'm still fairly new to additions being added. So please charge that to me.
And okay. And also, if you want, I can share my screen, or do you prefer to?
It's up to you. I can stop share, and then you could do it if you want to do it, or you can say, please advance the next slide. It's up to you.
Okay. If I guess go for it, then I don't want to disrupt the flow here. So I'm happy to, if you don't mind, I'll just let you know. Right now we are just seeing the agenda. I know that sometimes that can be complicated because of the screen view. Thanks everyone for having me. I can just say I'm happy to be here to tell you a little bit about what the council is looking for and to give you a little bit of background and context and solicit some of your feedback. So I'm Karen Kapusta-Pofal. I'm the Common Council Chief of Staff. And like I said, this is a referral from council. They would like to know they would like to get some feedback from a number of BCCs. So what this short presentation, I won't read everything, just in the, you know, interest of time, and y'all can ask me to go back to anything that you'd like. But I want to give a little bit of history and then talk a little bit about what some of the proposed changes are and then open it up. So the existing policy, there is an existing elected and appointed official code of ethical conducts on the books, and it applies to boards, commissions, and committee members, as well as alders. It was originally adopted by the council in 2023, and then there was a sexual harassment appendix that was built out and adopted in July of 2024. And it provides shared expectations and guidelines for elected and appointed officials, including, as I said, BCC members. A reminder that by resolution, the resolution that adopted the original code of conduct, BCCs are required by resolution to put the code on their agenda annually for discussion. So we're just flagging that for you here. And then I have a note here for folks who may be wondering, and I think this group is pretty well familiar with these nuances. Staff are governed by APMs. So sometimes people ask, how is this different? And you know, that's one of the differences, of course, which you're very well familiar. Next slide, please. Okay, and so briefly provides expectations for general conduct, prohibits bullying, harassment, and discrimination, encourages formal conflict resolution where relevant and appropriate, describes a process for reporting and investigating sexual harassment complaints, and outlines possible sanctions for violation. This is the current code, which is in effect. Next slide, please. And as I mentioned, the council is asking for a number of boards, commissions, and committees to weigh in on this because it does apply to them and it's a good opportunity to collect some additional feedback. And as you can see this list, that's why I'm here with you today. Okay, so the next couple slides I'm not going to read, but they give you, if you haven't had a chance to read the whole proposal that's attached in Legistar, it gives you a kind of an overview of some of the types of things that are in the proposed updates. More values language, a reminder that what of the obligations that council members and BCC members have in terms of serving the public, and reminds folks to be cooperative and show mutual respect since everyone's here to do the business of the city and to help to serve the public. Next slide, please. There's a section on conduct towards city staff, including discussion. This is something that they do at council and we try to do. I staff the Common Council Executive Committee. We try to do this as well. Council and BCC members should refer to staff by their title or formal salutation, followed by the individual's last name in public meetings when first introduced, and then a discussion of what to do if you have a concern about a city staff member. All right, next slide, please. There's a section detailing conduct toward members of the public, and it reminds folks that members who come to speak, members of the public who come to speak at meetings are, should be treated, with respect and care. It can be quite intimidating at times to speak in front of a committee, and this is reminders in that regard. There's additional information in the proposed policy that goes into more detail, but this gives you a sense of some of the proposed additions. Next slide. Conduct toward the media. A bit of a discussion about reminding folks that when to signal when they're speaking as an individual versus a representative of the city or a representative of their board, and a recommendation that council or BCC members should not be discussing personnel issues in the media. Next slide, please. There is additional information about using point of order. Of course, as you know, point of order is a standard Robert's Rules tool, which anyone on the committee could use already, but it gives a little bit more guidance in terms of how to use it or when they can use it to address a potential breach of the code during a meeting. Next slide, please. And it goes into a little more detail on conflict resolution and gives a path of conflict resolution. For example, contacting the Common Council Chief of Staff or other appropriate city staff to help mediate the issue. Next slide, please. And this is quite a substantial piece. It doesn't affect BCCs directly, but it does affect, obviously, the council directly. Currently, censure of an alder is done. Can a censure resolution can be introduced by any alder, only one alder, and it's voted on, and it can be, if it's approved, by a simple majority. So that's the standard. That's how it is now. And this proposal proposes to formalize a role for the Common Council Executive Committee in a type of hearing process. And it also would require a censure resolution to be sponsored by at least two alders, still a majority of vote after that. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to open up the discussion. I want to let you know our legislative analyst is taking notes on feedback that we're receiving from committee members, either in a discussion during the meeting, or if you'd like to email me or your committee staff to send to me additional feedback that you'd like the alders to think about when it comes to this topic. So I have some prompts here, but of course, you're free to discuss whatever you'd like. We'll be providing all of the feedback to the alders as they consider the item and think about if there are any things they'd like to change, tweak, adjust before it gets voted on. It's been re-referred out to give committees a little bit more time to get it on their agenda, and I believe it's coming back on the 16th of September now. So you have a little bit of time, even if something comes up after this meeting that you'd like to pass on, please do send it my way. So that is all I'm going to say for now. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Karen. Are there any questions? I know we'll have a chance to talk about this more, perhaps not tonight, but we'll refer this where we can dive deeper into it. But is there any questions or any firsthand comments? Bob, please go ahead. Bob, you're muted.
Thank you, Chair. I read through the information on Legistar, and I found it most informative. And a couple things jumped out at me. First, how do we address each other on the commission? And our commission, the culture of our commission is much more informal than that of a lot of other commissions and committees and boards in the city. However, I do like to address staff by their formal title because I think that shows more respect. And alders, we should say Alder O'Brien, Alder Harrington McKinney, as opposed to Barbara or Sean. I think and that's my opinion, but I think that that's something that we should decide as commissioners. The reminder of how to communicate with the media and with other people, I think, is very, very important. I cannot speak for the Equal Opportunities Commission unless I am speaking about a decision that we made and promoting that decision. And as a member of the commission, I think it's very important that any vote we take, even if I'm against it, I support. And that's how we collaborate in this body. Personnel issues. We focus on policy in this commission. And it is not our business to have to deal with personnel issues, and we should not be discussing that in our meetings. So I really like having these points outlined in this matter. Otherwise, I think it's relatively straightforward, and I don't see a reason that we shouldn't approve this tonight, except for one small detail, and that is that the the PDF on Legistar that describes all these points, and many more than what I just brought up, refers to the protected classes that we have in the city, and it refers to the affirmative action ordinance, not to the equal opportunities ordinance. And then at the end, there's an asterisk next to that hyperlink. And at the end of the PDF, there is a list of protected classes, but I believe that it does not have the complete list of equal opportunities in the equal opportunities ordinance. So I'm wondering if that's an oversight or whether that's something that we need to pursue. Because the Equal Opportunities Ordinance is ignored in many aspects of the city's operation and elsewhere in the MGO. So I'm open to hearing what other commissioners think.
Thank you so much, Bob. Anybody else? I'm scrolling. I'm not seeing any hands. Araceli, please go ahead.
First, I would like to say that was actually my phone number that you keep on repeating, Angela, at the beginning of our meeting, and I would appreciate that be redacted from whatever minutes are being taken. And secondly, I mean, I saw this right now. I did look at those attachments myself. I think we should, as a commission, take it one more time and, into our next meeting, and then have this passively emailed to all of us, this PDF, this PowerPoint presentation, for those people who might have also not was able to look at it or whatever, and we could have another like another session to actually like vote on it. I actually propose that we should wait until next meeting to vote on this and have some more discussion, because this is kind of like a this is a little one, I'm grateful for this. It's a long time coming, right? Given what's happened before with myself. So I think that this is great. I'm for this, but I think that we need to wait one more time. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Araceli. Are there any other comments or questions for Karen? Bob, your hand is still up.
Yeah, I have a question for Ms. Kapusta Profil Hofel, I'm sorry. And that is that if we do refer this to our next meeting in August, would that prevent our input in the final Common Council consideration or review?
It will not. I will be collect. I'm sorry. One moment. I'm checking your next meeting, 8:14. It will not. We'll be able to incorporate additional. We'll take the feedback that you're providing right now, and we'll certainly take any feedback that you're providing that you provide at that meeting as well. I'm just checking to make sure I am available. Because I would like to make sure that I am here to, just in case. Yep, I'm here. So I'm happy to return if you'd like me back, just in case. And yeah.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Bob, are you any other questions? Otherwise, I'll jump to Melanie and then Araceli.
Audio.
Yes, I just had a question with regard to Bob's question on the protected classes.
Content.
Could she answer that question? Why is there a difference?
Thank you, Melanie.
We noticed you have spoken.
So I am looking, I'm going to have to look, compare the two ordinances to see if there were any protected classes not listed. That's the existing code of conduct that's already on the books. I'm going to definitely let the elders know that this is something they can consider adding a hyperlink to both ordinances to be clear. It was a hyperlink to help folks see the definition or to refer folks to the definition of the protected classes. So we didn't list each protected class's definition in this code, just refer folks to the MGO so that they can read in more detail the de definition of each protected class. But if there are more protected classes in the Equal Opportunities Ordinance than the Affirmative Action Ordinance, I want to make sure they're both captured. And so this is something that will go into our notes for elders' consideration when they're making any updates or adjustments. It's certainly something that they can consider as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Did that answer it, Melanie? Oh, great. Araceli, you're next, and then we'll go back to Bob.
So I'm reading right now just like the PDF, right? Where it says elected and appointed official code of ethics. And what I can tell you, like what the reporting part, it's just not clear. Like it says here, a person who feel yeah, okay. And is harassed, acting in official capacity. The organizer of the event meeting will be expressed. I feel like it's still not clear who they are supposed to report to.
I think
It's
well,
just
oh, I'm
that
sorry.
I'm just saying, I if this is a question to her, to them, to this
Yeah.
person who's presenting to us. To me, it's just not clear still. Like, who is who? It just says here, you know, relevant meeting information organizer. There's like, maybe they shouldn't there be like a form? You know, there's like, what happens? What can they do? Do they? Does the person who's making the report also have like the ability to, you know, bring their own charges? You know, I mean, can that still happen? You know, what is that protections for that person who is bringing this report? Can they be, anonymous even? And so I just feel like some of that processes, like I would love to vote on this right now, but like again, I think it's pertinent for us to wait because Karen, perhaps by the next time that we meet next month, you can talk to us a little bit more about the processing of reporting. And what are the protections for the report? Is it for the person who's reporting, right? Because I just feel like in the ordinance, we're just missing that a little bit. And again, I apologize. You know, these are all kind of off-the-cuff things. Thank you.
Before I jump to others, I just want to be clear. We're not going to vote on this tonight. It's a discussion item. What I would recommend is that we refer it as an action item, and then people can take time. Why we have, in reading that, I mean, no disrespect. I've called you Karen since I've known you. I appreciate the reminder and would love to ask staff with how they would like to be addressed. And but I just want to be clear. We can ask Karen a few more questions, but we're not going to vote on this tonight as a discussion item. Karen and then Bob.
Yeah, I'd like to just so I believe I was looking through. I believe you're referring to the current code of conduct, which is currently in effect right now, in the sexual harassment appendix of that code. So yes, that one. I believe that is where you were reading about the reporting requirements. So I think that it will be helpful to definitely hear. Like, I appreciate this because not just the proposals in front of you, but also the code that is in effect, what we can do or what you'd like to recommend to the council to do to strengthen it. I think all of that is wonderful to have discussion about. The only thing I would say is if just to help for our note-taking purposes, if folks would signal which code they're talking about, are they talking about the proposal or are they talking about the existing? That will help us when we're sorting our notes, if that's okay, to help us say, oh, the EOC would like to strengthen the reporting section of the The existing code in terms of anonymous reporting, in terms of reporting structure, and so on and so forth. If that's all right, I just know that it can get a little confusing because there is the one in effect, and then there are a bunch, there is a lot of proposed changes in the proposed version. So.
That makes perfect sense. So as we take a look at this, because this was added to our agenda relatively late, and I would like folks to take a deeper dive. And to Karen's point, when you make comments, indicate if it's the proposed or the one that's in effect now. Bob, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. When I read that read this the document that was on Legistar, I focused primarily on what proposals and what issues would be would affect our commission. And since we are primarily focused on equal opportunities in the city of Madison in our own governance, I think that I really didn't form an opinion about how it affects the Common Council. Although, and I don't know that that really is our purview, but we can talk about that further. But the other thing I'd like to say is I'd like to make a motion to refer this item to our next meeting.
Thank you, Bob. Do I have a second? There's a
Second.
motion to refer.
Second.
Melanie seconds. Unless there's any objections, we'll refer this to our next meeting.
Meeting.
Arceli, your hand is up.
I do have an objection, just for a second, because I want to, Karen, I do know what you're talking about, and I actually do think that it needs the even the revised one also needs to have a, there's not enough language there. It's not direct enough to understand, actually. And I'm willing, I'm going to screenshot you because I'm on my phone. I'm like doing 100 things, different things. I'm going to screenshot your name right now, and then you and I can maybe perhaps I'll reach out to you directly. Thank you. And with that, I retract my objection, but I'm still go forward to having it to the next one. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Araceli. Thank you. So what we're voting on is to refer this to our next meeting. Is there any objections? Seeing none, this will be referred to our next meeting. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us. I got a lot of thoughts as a former alder, but I'll hold off till our next meeting.
Thank you all so very much. I appreciate all of your feedback on the existing, the proposed, anything else, even things that aren't in here. I will happily engage with everyone, anyone, and pass on that information. So thank you so much for having me. Have a great
Thank you
night.
for coming. You too. Have a great night. All right. Next up is agenda item number 3. Angela, and I'm going to take the time. Angela, what, and I'm not trying to be goofy or anything. What do you want to be called? That was a good reminder. I certainly respect staff working all day, and I want to respect how you want to be addressed.
I prefer Angela.
Okay, and I prefer Brian. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for asking.
So, Angela, from what I understand, at next week's Common Council meeting, I'm going to read the proclamation and bestow it on our honoree. Is that correct? Is there anything
Yes,
else?
there's one question from the people who designed the agenda. They want to know, is anyone else wanting or expected to speak, but just other than the chair and the recipient? I know last year there was some additional discussion. Last year, I know Commissioner Wright was able to speak, and I don't, and there was other people from the council that spoke, but they just wanted to make sure they have it on the agenda. There's not a preference given, they just wanted to know.
What do folks think? And maybe you don't have to decide right this second, but you're more than welcome to come. I tend to have flashbacks when I'm in the council chamber, so it's nice to have company. So if there's nothing else with that, we'll move on to agenda item number four, the non-discrimination clause. And that's you, Bob.
And I have been in contact with the chair of the Affirmative Action Commission, and I was invited to attend the Affirmative Action Commission meeting tonight, but it was canceled due to lack of quorum. So, more later, I guess. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't be sorry. So that'll keep moving forward with us. So next up is agenda item number five, the EOC work plan. And we can probably get rid of the subheading discrimination in the workplace at this point as we look at other topics that are coming up. But I don't know if folks want to talk about the work plan. Any comments? I'm scrolling. Okay, I'm not seeing any topics. And that, once again, that item will probably stay with us as we move forward throughout the year. So that brings us to future topics. And I see we have Ford on the call, the EOC ordinance update. And Ford, I'm once again, is it okay I call you Ford?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm going to ask, I really want to respect that. Okay. Any updates, Ford?
No, I intend to contact Melanie and Ushri next week to get started on the revisions, the review and revisions of the ordinance.
Great, thank you so much. Is there any questions around that? I'm not seeing any. So that brings us to the semi-annual EOC newsletter or blog. And for those that maybe don't know what that item might be, we had talked a while back about a few of us getting together and just maybe putting something out from the commission standpoint. I know the departments, they do their outreach or things, but is this something we want to entertain down the road? So I don't know if there's any comments around that. And once again, these are just discussion items. We don't need to take action on any of these. I'm not seeing any hands. That brings us up to invite property management company for conversation. And once again, to give a little background, it had been successful in the past when this body had asked a property management company to come in and just talk about the issues and different things. Does anybody have any comments or anything they want to say around that? Bob.
Yeah, there was a gentleman from one of the properties on Northport Drive, who attended two of our listening sessions, and I thought that he was very articulate about the types of issues that they deal with as property managers in housing issues. Of course we're interested in housing discrimination, but it housing discrimination is just one of the issues that face the tenants who are discriminated against. And it'd be I don't remember his name. I don't know how to contact him. Araceli or Commissioner Esparza.
He
Do you remember whom we're talking about?
was with Ridgecrest Management. He owned it, Ridgecrest.
Okay. And Commissioner Wallace
Yes.
would do you think he'd be a good candidate for coming to talk to our commission?
No, we need somebody that is really causing a lot of hardship on people, and that's Madison Property Management. We need to get some insight on the things that they're doing and the reasons why. I'm working on one case that really six, seven people been evicted with a past criminal history, stayed on their property for like 5 years, and now their criminal background is an issue, and they never repeated, the same crime or any crime. So we should ask Madison Property Management to come in.
Thank you, Sheree. Bob?
Yeah, and Sheree, I like your idea, and I worry though that if we invite somebody from Madison Property Management, that we might come off as being antagonistic, and I think that the goal here is to be collaborative, and I know that you. You're much better at collaboration than I am, probably. I'm not good at it, but do you think that we could provide the right environment for somebody from that company?
You know what? When we invite him, we're not going to say, the things that's going, what we're working on. We're just going to, give him some scenarios on how they handle different situations.
Okay. Yeah. I think that that's a
Like,
great idea.
yeah, ask them what's their process and giving people second chances and, trying to rent.
Yeah, I guess as long as we're not as long as we can be productive in our involvement with Madison Property Management and work to improve their understanding of our perception of how of the difficulties that their tenants have. Yeah, indeed. Thank you.
Thanks, you too. Kat?
Thanks, Chair. Sheree, that's a really interesting idea. I think that it could certainly be kind of the best bang for a buck, so to speak, in terms of getting information. It could be like a very high yield sort of session to have a conversation with a representative from them, from that property management specifically. And I'm wondering if we could do some prep for how we might want to approach questions or kind of with the idea that we want to be productive, but also kind of get something done if we're going to spend the time.
So we can all like write in some questions. Somebody critique them. One person asks the question, so the person won't feel like we are trying to attack them or make them feel any kind of way.
Thank you. I see that Linda and Ford has their hand up, and before I jump to them, I had asked in the past, and I think Byron answered the question, but I'm still not sure. And I appreciate these outreach efforts, but I'm wondering if we're out of our lane when we do invite property management companies to come. It's good to listen. It's good to maybe ask questions to build collaboration, but I often wonder, what can we do as a commission afterwards? So I'm going to jump to Ford and then Linda.
I guess I think collaboration is always a desirable thing, but as an attorney and as an attorney who came up representing primarily tenants and complainants in discrimination cases, I think you have to be somewhat careful about the questions you ask and the answers that you give so that a business may not, can't come back and say, well, they told me this at the commission meeting, that should absolve me of responsibility. You don't, and that's one reason why I don't do public speaking on behalf of EOD is it's very easy for someone to latch on to something that has been said and perhaps twist that to their own situation without it really being appropriately applied. So I'm not saying not to collaborate, but be cautious in how you do that. And as a historical point, the for many, many years in the past, one of the seats on the commission was more or less reserved for a representative of the housing provider community, often from the Realtors Association as well, or from the Apartment Owners Association. I want to say maybe 15 years ago, that was dropped. The ordinance does indicate that the commission membership should reflect as much as possible the entire community of Madison, which would include business owners and landlords. So, something to consider that maybe to get back to seeking representation from some of the regulated communities as members of the commission.
Thank you, Ford. Linda?
Yeah, thanks Ford. I appreciate the kind of caution, but I do like the idea of inviting property management company and more so, I think from the perspective, not to be antagonistic, but to ask them to share information about what are they screening out. And along those same lines, if we're inviting, I would love to hear from the Madison Housing Authority on their eligibility criteria, particularly from my perspective and my work as it relates to criminal conviction history. But you know, I think Sheree's right. We're seeing, I know for folks that we're working with who have criminal convictions, they're just getting, some of whom have been housed successfully for 8, 10 years, and they're getting non-renewal notices based on their conviction history, which clearly was not an issue 8 or 10 years ago when they got their housing. So would love to have the opportunity to hear from them, and maybe that is the idea of submitting questions ahead of time to them and just asking them to present and share with us kind of where their heads are at on this.
Thank you, Linda. Sheree, your hand is still up. I'm going to come back to
So
you.
I think, like I said, we create these questions. We got an attorney. If he don't mind, he can review the questions, critique it in a way that it won't be harmful to the management company.
Thank you, sure. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
what you think about that for?
I could certainly assist with the preparation of questions, although I do have to say that in my private practice days, I was known as being very difficult to work with from the landlord side. When I took over the hearing examiner position, they thought I was going to run rampant over quote landlord rights. I on the conviction record issue, it's particularly difficult because the state essentially preempted our ability to regulate and to protect, particularly in the area of housing, where a conviction record is involved. It would be nice if we could seek to have our lobbyists work to remove some of those preemptions that were adopted 10 or 15 years ago.
Thank you, Ford. Linda, can I come back to you?
Sorry, there's great rejoicing at something out the front window. I guess, yeah, I understand the conviction history piece. I think part of how I always look at this is given the racial disparities in conviction, arrest, conviction, and incarceration rates, that even when we're talking about conviction history, there's a disparate impact on people of color, and so it still may be relative to the conversation in terms of policies that exclude folks with conviction histories in the state of Wisconsin, particularly Dane County, are going to disparately impact people of color. So, and I don't know how you get the data in terms of looking at comparing if there's a difference between folks with conviction histories who are white and folks who are not. That information that's been researched in terms of employment. I don't know if it's been researched in terms of excuse me, yeah, in terms of housing.
I love this conversation because it's sparking some really profound future topics. And whether we bring in a property management company or CDA housing or someone to talk about these issues, I think this is wonderful. Sheree, your hand is still up. Am I skipping something? Okay. Is there any other comments around that? Seeing none. The next item. So Zach, you got roped in for another year as we were trying to think of how to honor your 10 years of service. But I think at the EOC Exec Committee, we were hoping that Corinda would be available at our retreat, at least in the beginning. And once we plan that retreat and get more details, to ask Corinda to come where we can honor her in person since we're all there. So I guess what to say is stay tuned with that. But we talked about that at the exec committee. Any questions around that? Otherwise, we'll keep moving along. Okay. Kat, please go ahead.
I apologize. I know that I wasn't able to make our last meeting, so perhaps I've missed something, but I was just wondering, Zach, how did they get you to come back?
I don't
They
know.
bribed
That
him.
that's news to me.
Really, Zach? I guess they made a mistake in the mayor's office because when we looked at Legistar, it looked like you were getting bounced off. But then, as it was updated, you're on till 2026. I thought maybe they slipped you a little bribe or something.
They did not. I know, and I don't think that's
I think you can extend for a few months after your term as like a bridge extension, which I said I would do, but I don't think I can do any more than that.
Okay, well, that's noted, and we'll take that into consideration. When
Somebody can confirm that. I mean, I'm happy to keep serving, but I don't know that I can do it legally.
Yeah, and I don't know when the exact date. I think it was early 2026. I don't know, Zach, but we'll look into that. But I know you got a billion things going on, but we're glad you're here now.
You bet.
We'll keep you. All right. So EOC vacancies, that leads right into it. From what I understand, there's going to be contact with the mayor's office around that. Angela, do you have something more?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we talk about the alternate for the appeals committee. Our alternate is Corinda, and she's rolling off. So as we look at the vacancies on the full commission, don't forget we also need to do so for the alternate for the appeals committee, and that is now we're trying to schedule it for off August 14, the one that was canceled for July 10th.
Okay, thank you. So I guess that's a call of action for folks to consider serving on that body. You don't have to commit right now tonight. The last time I served on the appeals committee, you got big reams of paper. It's different than it is now, that we had to pore over big, thick stacks of paper. But it is, a function of this body, and it's super important. So, if there's no more around that, Alder O'Brien, did you make it to Waukesha? Do you want to give us a little report? How's the weather there? Are you safe?
I did make it safely to Waukesha, and it is downpouring here, very, very torrential downpour. So, but yeah, I don't have updates on me today.
Okay, wonderful. So that brings us to agenda item number 9. Let me scroll here. Director Davis, now, Norm, I have to call you Norm unless you tell me something differently.
Yeah, no problem. No
There was a
problem. You
time
call
I
me
called
Norm.
you. There's a time I called you Norman. You tell me Norm is all right?
Yep. Yeah, that's
Okay.
fine. It's
So
perfect.
will you guide us in this piece of it?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I'll just give a brief update of things that I can. So one, I just want to sort of piggyback on your conversation about the property management discussion. And Byron's been keeping me informed about some of the information that's been shared. And we're actually working on there's a research project that came through another stream within the department where we're looking at how we can provide more resources, education, and training for property managers. We want to be able to identify and say, this is what we're looking for in Madison in terms of property management. And so I think your discussion with property managers, if that's the route that you choose to go, could also help to enlighten and inform that research project. But we want to think proactively about, what is the state that we want in Madison when it comes to property management, and to our best ability, prescribe that and offer that to developers, property owners, property managers. So that's one thing that's underway, and we actually have that as part of one of our interns' projects this summer. I'll say, I was looking at the agenda and I see there's things like technology updates. And so I know that we're still working with SICOM to make sure that we are keeping up with the requirements that we have around our online portal. I know that we had gotten some feedback from the EEOC that there was some additional data that they wanted to see, or fields that they wanted to see. So we're working on incorporating those. And so I know SICOM is working on that. And then I guess I'll say, I saw there was an attachment. It was an old document that was laying out the agreement between the City of Madison and the CDA. So I don't know what conversation prompted, that document. But if I can speak to that at all, I'm happy to. But I don't know if that was something that you all were looking into as a body, the nature of the relationship between the city and the CDA. But if there's any additional information I can research or bring to you, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Norm. I cannot recall us talking about that relationship, but down the road, I think that's another topic that might be interesting. Are there any questions for Norm? I'm scrolling. Melanie.
Oh, your microphone is off, Melanie.
I'm just curious if somebody, Norm or Jeray or somebody, is there a lot of turnover in terms of the property management staffs?
I don't have statistical data, but the anecdotal data that I know is yes. And in particularly our underserved neighborhoods. And so we're sometimes it's the same owner, but there's turnover in terms of the property owner ownership employees. But the thing that we're really seeing is that there's turnover in terms of the owners. And so the new owners now have different property management staff. And so that's one of the things that we're seeing. And that's going back years. I mean, I recall that there's been a handful of properties that I know that where that's happened. And I remember one particular property began, they bought the property, they began the process of evicting people illegally, was based on, like I think they're the fact that they're receiving they had Section 8 vouchers. And so we did inform that company that that is not permitted in Madison, and worked with them. And so yeah, they're like I said, I don't have the statistics, but anecdotally, yes, I know that there is.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions for Norm? I'm looking. I'm seeing none. All right. Thank you, Norm. So that brings us to the end of our agenda. I know you all want to stay on this call the rest of the night, but Araceli.
I was going to say, I know we were just talking about having these landlords, but I think we need to have voices in La Florida or San Francisco to come and update on what's going on. And they had a very curious situation recently. Citizen, talk to me
Mama, the door
about
opened.
A citizen talking to me about someone very suspicious from
Araceli, I can't hear you. Your audio is garbled. We
Oh, is
can't
it?
hear you.
No, it's okay.
Oh, that's better.
Is this better? Okay, so
Much, much, much better.
I had a citizen talk to me saying that they're a building manager, right, at UW, and so like they do like the facilities cleanup and all this. And so somebody like from a Gmail said, "I'm going to go and inspect you because da 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 this." And it wasn't even, and they made a police report and everything on it. But these people came in, like came to their door with a taser. And it's alarming to me. FYI, he's white. But the assumption is that the reason why they think he was targeted and all of the building managers, if you just Google UW building managers, facility building managers, you'll come up with like a list. And that these extremists are like pretending that they're with like OSHA or something. And that's what this person was doing, like pretending they were OSHA. And I think they're like looking for people who are undocumented on UW campuses. And so I'm just wondering, and there's just been so many like sightings of ICE, and for all those reasons and more. I mean, I think it's more pressing to have those organizations come and talk to us about how we can help one calm, you know, because there's been so many false sightings and so forth. And there's a 1-800 number for us to report. And then there's like national sightings. And then like, I've been, at times I'm like told, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Like I was literally body doubling. I don't know if you all know what that means, but for those of you who don't know what that means, it's like when I'm online, but the other person's in real life, and I was the one online while they went to go and see if this sighting of ICE was real. And so we have regular citizens who are now taking it upon themselves, right, to see whether or not ICE is real. And people are like, well, the police would have been able to tell us. I do not believe that. That the police would have a mandate to tell us whether ICE is in the community or not. So for all of those reasons, I think that there needs to be, we need to have them come and understand a little bit more about that, and how does that intersect pertain to new opportunities, because although there may be undocumented immigrants, they are still human and have personal civil rights. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Araceli. Is there any other comments? Otherwise, I would love to entertain a motion for adjournment. Nobody's gonna move. Bob.
So moved.
I so move.
All right. Motion by Melanie, second by Bob. Unless there's any opposition, seeing none, this meeting's adjourned. Have a great night, everyone. Take care.
Thank you, Chair. Catch the old pen.